We're back on Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are joined by Mercedes, who's from Renegade Activists, to talk a little bit about the weapons manufacturing industry. Mercedes is a member of the Renegade Solidarity Audio Force crew, who has been involved in all kinds of local radical activism, from Free Assange to Melbourne's Palestinian motorcades. And Mercedes is also a 3CR broadcaster on Uprise Radio. Welcome to the show, Mercedes.
Thank you so much, Claire. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And you're also joined by Rob and Zane.
Hey,
hi, Rob and Zane.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you on the program. And I guess just to start this interview off, we were on the picket line together last Friday, and we will be again outside of HTA, the factory HTA. You know, for some new listeners, they might not know what this is all about. So we just wanted to maybe kick off the interview by asking, how does HTA fit into the genocide in Gaza through their role in weapons manufacturing?
Yeah, good question. So good morning, listeners. As you said, we're at Hate Treatment Australia, which is at 43B Lara Way in Campbellfield. So if you weren't there last week, definitely suggest getting out there today, because there's another going to be on the ticket line again at 11 o'clock this morning. So Heat Treatment Australia, or known as HTA, is a what's called a small to medium enterprise that undergo the metallurgical processing and heat treatment of parts for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. So that's just one of the things that they do alongside other treatment processing for companies like BAE Systems as well. But so what that heat treatment is that every part that is manufactured in Australia for the F-35 as part of the global supply chain needs to undergo kind of quite high pressure treatment before it can be assembled into the weapon, the complete weapon that it is. And so that's what HTA does, is that so all of these parts, so it doesn't manufacture parts itself as such, but it undergoes that metallurgical processing, which is, you know, one of the steps that's necessary for these weapons to be able to fly. And so all of the parts that are made by the different companies like Rosebank Engineering, from Levitt, from Lovett, from Thales, from BAE, from Mirand, they all need to go through this company in order to be able to be assembled. So it is a very important part in the global supply chain of the F-35.
Yeah, thanks, Mercedes. That was a really good explanation. I mean, they've been, HTA has probably been doing this for years. So how did the Campbellfield factory's role in manufacturing parts for the F-35s become known to the activists and also the local community?
So Hume for Palestine is a group that is set up within that local area. And, you know, they've been doing some really great work in the local community. How it became known, as you said, they've, this company has been around, I think, since, let me just have a quick look at the notes here that I've got. Yeah, I think they've been around since the 70s. So this company kind of started as a small company and have grown into a defence, for the Defence Force. And for the global supply chain of F-35. So, I mean, as you said, I'm part of Renegade Activists. And, a few months ago, thanks to the work of my comrade Jacob, Renegade Activists put out a flyer, which just listed with a non-exhaustive list of a lot of the weapons companies within our local area that were involved. So, there was obviously quite a lot of interest when people saw within the community, saw that there were weapons factories and companies just close to where they're living and working. So this is work that Renegade Activists has been doing since ADEX in the late 80s and early 90s, is to expose the masters of war. And that's, you know, really a important work because, yeah, so often these companies kind of just, you could just drive by and not know what they do. And they, you know, as you said, they're just in a little industrial estate out there in Campbellfield and no one really knows what goes on there. So it's really important to expose that these are really integral parts to what's happening in Gaza. And I will just add that I didn't say before, HTA, the Director of Corporate and Strategy of HTA is Dr. Karen Stanton, and she's also the Executive Chair of Elbit Systems Australia, which, of course, Elbit Systems is Israel's largest defence and weapons company, and is providing the weapons and the tooling for the genocide in Gaza.
That's pretty interesting. So can you, I don't know, I imagine you've been digging, trying to find out how close those links are between Elbit and HTA. That seems very peculiar that someone from Elbit would be, you know, the, what was her position, sorry, at HTA?
So Dr. Karen Stanton is the Director of Corporate Strategy. Essentially, she's the owner of HTA, and is the daughter of the founder of HTA. So, you know, this is a family, what started as a small family business, you know. And so, yeah, Karen Stanton is also on the advisory board of the Centre for Defence and Industry, which is a government initiative, or known as the CDIC, and which is an Australian government advisory body for defence. So Karen Stanton sits on the board of that and is also in, it was in 2021, she was made executive chair of the board of Elbit Systems Australia. Interestingly, in 2018, Elbit Systems Australia was under scrutiny, because there was a part of their exported weapons called the Battle Management System that there was a suspicion that they were being used for espionage, and, during that time, that Elbit Systems Australia appointed Dr. Karen Stanton to fund and lead that investigation under Elbit Systems Australia. It was eventually exonerated, and then in 2021, she was made executive chair of the board.
Ah, so she did a good job of the investigation and got a job out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mercedes, for mentioning ADEX, because I was actually there in 1992. Yeah, because I'm a Canberra boy, and I just travelled back to Canberra, and it was amazing. It was a massive protest, and it shut down. It shut down ADEX. You know, all these appalling generals and arms dealers, they couldn't actually have their conference, you know. It was a massive protest. People came from all over Australia and just shut it down.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Mobilization around weapons.
It was really something. And now, just on the weekend, we did have a three-hour picket up at Campbellfield. And, you know, it's not exactly the most accessible location, and yet there was, I counted, because I'm a crowd counter, about 500 people blockaded for those 3 hours. There were two or three trucks that couldn't get out, right? And I know trucks go in and out every day, but, like, it was really great that two or three of these trucks didn't get out. And that cost. That cost the company, and it slowed down Israel's attacks. And it shows people power. So I just thought that was really great. And, you know, we should just keep on doing stuff like this.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, there's, and as a multifaceted approach as well, because as we can see, you know, these companies and the way that they are able to operate is so closely linked to policies within government. The accountability for them is difficult within a network of global capital, and so we need to do everything we can to try and expose and shift the systems that allow these companies to go on unchecked and to be providing weapons the genocide.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, that's in Gaza, that's in West Papua, that's here in Australia against First Nations people. You know, these are weapons that are part of a global network of armament.
Yeah, definitely. Mercedes, you did mention there will be another protest today, and there is a regular picket, and there have been direct actions targeting HTA. How has the movement evolved? Can you talk about, you know, how the movement has evolved and incorporated all these different tactics?
So as it has done, you know, for a long time, as Rob just said, you know, with ADEX, there was people that came from all over to shut down the arms fair. So there is a protest tomorrow at, today.
Yeah.
Today already, isn't it? at 11 o'clock this morning. It's a bit early for me, to be honest. I'm a bit more of a late morning person. I mean, direct action, obviously I can only speak on the ones that I'm involved in, but I think, you know, these movements take such a wide concerted effort across multiple groups and to be effective. And these, you know, there's so many, you know, autonomous actions are fantastic. You know, coordinated actions are really important. I guess that renegade activists, you know, the tactic we use is exposure about these companies. And as we've always said, you know, the first step to challenging the masters of war is to expose them. And that's kind of always been a part of what the work renegade activist does. And it's great to see that these are coming up and in, you know, the shift in a mainstream discourse that people are now starting to, you know, link weapons and defence export and Australia's role in that directly to what is happening in Gaza at the moment. So I'm not sure. I probably haven't answered your question. Sorry, Chloe.
No. You absolutely did throughout the interview. We really appreciate you getting up early to speak with us, Mercedes, this morning. It is a tough time, and we really appreciate all the great work and your activism through Renegade Activists and the Palestinian movement. But I guess, like, you know, we're going to wrap up soon, and just wanted to, you know, ask if there's anything you'd like to let listeners know in terms of, you know, anti-weapons manufacturing activists responding to, you know, particularly the government's plans to become a top 10 arms exporting country.
As you said, there is a plan to become a top 10 arms exporting country, and that was a plan that was called the Defence Export Policy, and that was actually announced by Malcolm Turnbull in 2018. So, you know, that's a plan that's well underway. And so at that time, I think the government, through what's called the Defence Export Facility, pumped in, have a fund, basically, which is worth $3.8 billion, and that is administered by export finance. And so that $3 billion basically is to fund and provide finance and the security for local companies to sell their equipment overseas. And so why things like this can happen with, you know, Australia is a part of free trade agreements, so to get rid of tariffs and any financial barriers, is that under all those free trade agreements, national security, and I'd say that in big quotations, national security, is exempt. And so this means that the government can fund defence industry and can provide that financing through such things as grants and subsidies for these companies and through this defence export facility. And so there's actually an exemption, you know, as if anyone was, there's an exemption on the US and the UK of the permits for licensing for export on defence, in defence sector. But it also, yeah, the national security exemption means that the government is able willing and able to finance these companies and provide them with grants and, you know, to upgrade their tooling and things. So what we would consider national security in regards to, you know, if there's a bushfire, you know, there's or climate risk. No, it's just for building weapons, and it allows the government to be able to keep subsidising and funding and using that tax money to fund export of weapons and to build up the industry that way. So there are a lot of mechanisms within government that are really pushing for this, and how we fight that is to expose it. But and also that's just, you know, this is what the military-industrial complex is, and that as part of the flow of capital and the flow of capital, which weapons is a massive part of that. So, you know, it's really about getting to understand and to know and to expose just how deeply in collusion the military-industrial complex is with the Australian government and vice versa. So we've just got to keep exposing it, keep showing up to pickets, keep, you know, people on the streets is what is going to be, you know, people holding these companies and the government accountable. And we need to know that they are aiding and abetting a genocide in Gaza. So the government is, and they are actively complicit. And yeah, we need to let them know they're not going to get away with it.
Yeah, hear. Yeah, thanks, Mercedes. And all these weapons manufacturing facilities should be shut down immediately, or should be producing products that people actually need, not weapons used for war, particularly the genocide of the Palestinian people. And just to remind us again, because these protests outside HTA are being organised by Hume for Palestine. They were initiated. It was initiated through a petition, I think, calling on Hume City Council to immediately close a facility. And HTA did actually cease operations at the facility for a day last week in response to that protest. So that was a victory.
I think it was two days.
Oh, it was 2 days.
Hey. Yeah.
That is awesome. And yeah, encourage people to get down there at 43B Lara Way in Campbell Field. But the protest last week was at 10 a.m. Can you just remind us, it's going to be at 11 a.m. today,
it's
is that right?
It's going to be at 11 this week, yep.
11 this week. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Mercedes, for your time. For listeners just tuning in, we were talking to Mercedes from Renegade Activists involved in the community picket and protest demanding the closure of weapons facility arming Israel. Thank you for your time, Mercedes.
Thanks so much, everyone. Have a good day, and we'll see you down at HTA.
See you there.
Shut down.
Word.
Bye.
Cheers, bye.